Welcome to the program, Evan Davis.
Glad to be on with you.
Thanks for joining us. You're with the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections. You've organized a rally demanding that every vote be counted accurately from the November 2nd election here in the United States, not to be confused with the many other elections around the world that we're hearing of, some of them contested. But tell us about what's going on in Ohio and the demonstration you've scheduled for 1 o'clock this afternoon.
Well, starting at 1, thousands of people will be gathering from all over the country as well as all over the state of Ohio to demand a fair recount in Ohio, to demand that the Secretary of State, Republican Ken Blackwell, to recuse himself from that recount process. Also to investigate possible malfeasance, discrepancies, and what have you in all of Ohio's 88 counties, because there's a growth that suggests that there is quite a bit to be investigated here. We're not sure what it will turn up, but there is a chance that it will turn up such significant fraud, such significant differences in the vote tallies, that it could make a difference in the national election.
I wonder what you've experienced in Ohio, hearing from other citizens in Ohio or from people around the country. The claims that since a candidate John Kerry conceded in the early morning hours after Election Day, conceded the election.
If they weren't paying attention, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, go ahead. That was a superfluous interruption.
That's all right. I just wonder, you've probably heard yourself the response in the major media, including National Public Radio, for example, that people who would question the vote count in Ohio would be among those who might wear tinfoil hats. In other words, conspiracy theorists who are incapable of reasoning rationally and weighing evidence in a measured fashion. What evidence do you have to offer?
You know, that's unfortunate, because I just left the house. I'm driving to the state house now, and I left my roll of aluminum foil at the house. You know, it's interesting that NPR should be spinning it that way. There was an NPR reporter outside the federal courthouse yesterday. We kind of press pooled with her, because I'm also a reporter for Pacifica Radio. And she was there interviewing the people who had just exited the courtroom after a court case had been tried. It was actually two different litigations. One was regarding one county in Ohio, which was trying to stop the recount in that county, which would have set a statewide and national precedent as well. That motion was denied. The recount will go forward in that county. The other was a motion by the Green Party attorney from the National Voting Rights Institute, John Boniface, to expedite the certification of the votes in Ohio so that the recount could begin and have adequate time to be completed before the electors meet on December 13th. That motion, surprisingly, was denied. And the reason it was denied, according to the judges, is because the people bringing that motion before the courts didn't have any chance of gaining anything from a different electoral outcome. In other words, David Cobb only received less than 40 votes, allegedly. Of course, we don't know that for sure in the whole state. So if you buy the logic of the court and agree that the Green Party and the Libertarian candidate don't have any real interest in the recount, then you have to dismiss the arguments that they've actually been making, which is that to demand a recount is an act of statesmanship, because we are quite certain that the electoral outcome of Ohio is not yet determined. First of all, the votes haven't been certified. That won't happen until December 6th. Secondly, there have been so many discrepancies. I mean, the tally is changing now, even as the provisional ballots are being counted, that there is no certain way to declare the victor, or the loser. So it's not a conspiracy theory from the standpoint of wanting to secure the integrity of the voting process and the election. That is simply a citizen's right, and the people who are calling for that are exercising a function of their citizenship. With regard to actually affecting a difference in the outcome, that's really secondary to the purpose of securing the electoral process. Exposing the fraud, however, is a much larger issue, because if we allow those kinds of discrepancies to prevail, then we are, in a sense, turning our backs on the sacrifices made by the generations before us of people who put their lives on the line to just to obtain the right to vote.
We're speaking with Evan Davis of the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections. They've organized a rally beginning at 1 p.m. today in Columbus, Ohio, demanding that every vote be counted accurately from the United States presidential election on November 2nd, in which Ohio played the key role in determining which candidate won. They're demanding a full recount of Ohio's votes and a complete investigation of all irregularities and discrepancies reported and charges of voter disenfranchisement in Ohio. Evan Davis, can you comment about the level of involvement or not of Senator John Kerry in demanding a recount?
Well, he has not demanded the recount. He had standing to demand the recount. And if he were the one who had demanded the recount, as well as the expedition of the certification here in Ohio, which many people have felt has been delayed because the Secretary of State is, in the words of one person here, running out the clock in order to make sure that the recount will have no real relevance, then those would have moved forward faster. We could perhaps even be recounting the votes right now. So the Democrats were late stepping up to the plate. We feel that their efforts were inadequate, although welcome. They did join us in the lawsuit, finally, to expedite the recount, but only in an amicus capacity. In other words, they were not named plaintiffs in that suit. So we weren't able to get very far. The Democrats are organizing volunteers to be observers in the recount, and that is essential. Of course, the Green Party has at least an equal number of observers, and they are beginning to arrive in the state this morning. But the recount is only one aspect of this. There's another important lawsuit that will be filed. The latest is, that we've heard is on Monday. The chief litigators in that suit will be speaking at today's rally, and they are planning to contest Ohio's election. Now, that's different from a recount in that it grants the plaintiffs much deeper powers to, say, subpoena documents, impound voting machines, and to bring in forensic computer analysts to examine those machines. And the litigants in that case have uncovered an anomaly. It is a statistical inference at this point, but it is significant enough to warrant the head attorney in that case to declare this the smoking gun. In other words, the way that the Ohio elections may have been rigged. And this has to do with a race for the Supreme Court Chief Justice seat in Ohio, in which an underfunded and little-known Democrat was challenging a Republican incumbent. And in 13 southern Ohio counties, which are traditionally fairly conservative, the Democratic challenger for that seat received a higher margin of the votes in that race than John Kerry did in his.
We're speaking with Evan Davis of the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections in Ohio right now. Let me just touch on something I spoke with Susan Truitt about yesterday, which was the decision of the court yesterday in Ohio. I understand that the judge said that if John Kerry, the candidate, had been involved in requiring a recount, that he could possibly have shown irreparable harm delaying the recount, which this was in the specific court case yesterday, which was an attempt by the Green Party and the Libertarian Party for a request for injunctive relief to get Secretary of State Blackwell, a Republican incidentally, to waive the requirement of the 7-day notice of related parties once the vote is certified in Ohio. 7-day notice before a recount, the law that requires a notice to all parties involved in the election that there will be a recount. And the judge, again, said that if John Kerry had been involved in requesting this recount, he then might have been able to show irreparable harm delaying in a delay of the recount. But since John Kerry was not involved, and for perhaps other reasons, this judge refused to issue this injunctive relief yesterday.
Right. That's the point I just covered, that had John Kerry, had the Kerry campaign been a named plaintiff in that suit, then it might very well have gone differently, because the issue was irreparable harm. Irreparable harm could not be established regarding the Green Party and Libertarian candidates, because the number of votes that they got throughout the state wouldn't suggest that a difference could be made if a recount would show, you know, a margin of difference in the votes. But, of course, that's not really the whole point of the recount. For instance, Ohio has more than 90,000 so-called spoiled ballots. These are paper ballots that have that were not able to be read by the electronic scanners on first pass, and they are set aside, and they are never included in the electoral results unless a recount is demanded. In other words, they would just never be examined. The intention of those 90-some thousand voters in Ohio would never be known if a recount were not demanded. So the Democrats talk about standing up for people's rights to vote and for every vote to be counted, and yet without a recount, there are 90,000, mostly perhaps, Democratic constituents who would not have a meaningful way to participate in the process. So that's one of the results of the recount. As far as the investigation is concerned, you know, pictures have been painted of those of us who are interested in that investigation as your tin hat wearing conspiracy theorists. But a lot of the evidence in that case is based on actual testimonies from voters around the state who have come to hearings, which were organized, again, not by the Democrats, but by organizations like the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections and the NAACP and the Ohio AFL-CIO, et cetera. In other words, nonpartisan grassroots organizations coming together to determine what actually happened on Election Day. And the stories we've been hearing from voters are just amazing. I mean, it's like we have Jim Crow hopping in his SUV and relocating to Ohio, because there had been racial intimidation at some of the polls, disproportionately affecting African-American precincts, African-American voters being disenfranchised in larger numbers than just about any other population. We had had people who had lived in the same place and voted in the same place for 20 years suddenly finding that their names do not appear on the voter rolls. And that they had to vote provisionally at the same time that the Secretary of State was continuously changing the rules regarding the use and counting of provisional ballots. So there is plenty here that should shock even the Democrats into action. And it's been rather appalling that their actions have been so little and so late, although we certainly welcome them now, and we hope that they will help us make a difference, because there's really nothing more pressing, unless you count perhaps the wars. This is about preserving our most basic, vital democratic institutions. And if we can't do that, then we lose control.
Evan Davis of the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections, let me ask you, do you have members of your group who may not care particularly whether Democratic Senator John Kerry were elected as president, or maybe Republicans or members of other parties who are supporting the effort to accurately count the vote and investigate any irregularities, simply to have on the record an accurate vote count and an account of any irregularities, whether or not it might possibly change the result of the election?
I'm sorry, I was momentarily distracted. Can you repeat the question?
The question was, do you have members of your Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections who are not Democrats, who perhaps might not care to have John Kerry win the presidency, who are either Republicans or Greens or Libertarians?
Yes, absolutely, we do. We have the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections is a nonpartisan organization, and we have members who subscribe to various political philosophies. We have many members who are not part of any political party at all. I myself am loosely associated with the Green Party, although I did not vote for the Green Party candidate in this last election. I voted for Kerry. But, you know, there are many people here who, in this organization, who really do consider the security and the sanctity and the integrity of the vote to be an issue that far outweighs any kind of partisanship, and that ultimately is even more important than the outcome of the election, no matter who won or lost.
We're seeing Evan Davis report from the Associated Press from Columbus, Ohio, yesterday on, again, the federal judge's decision to rule against the county attempt to stop the presidential election recount. This was the decision by U.S. District Judge Edmund Sargas denying the Delaware County Board of Elections request to stop the recount. A former or sometimes Bostonian, John Bonifaz, is a lawyer who's been involved in some of the efforts in Ohio. He's a lawyer for the Boston-based National Voting Rights Institute, which is representing the Green Party candidate for President David Cobb, as well as Libertarian Party candidate Michael Badnarik. John Bonifaz conceded the recount would not be done by December 13, but could be done before the House and Senate formally declare the winner on January 6. This was, of course, why they were pursuing this particular injunctive relief in order to not follow the requirement for the 7 days of notice to all parties involved that a recount would occur. In this case, this is receiving wide enough publicity. Some of the argument went that the 7 days notice before the recount begins was not required, and in this case, that now would put it right at the deadline of December 13 for the election to be certified. The Delaware County Prosecutor David Yost told Sargas, the judge, that a recount would cost at a minimum $5,000 and put even more pressure on elections board workers who put in hundreds of hours of overtime during the election. Delaware County Prosecutor Yost said they're exhausted, and in addition to the economic cost, there's a human cost to compelling these workers to complete a meaningless task, end quote. I wonder if you've been in touch with any of the election or potential recount workers.
Well, I did speak with Mr. Yost. In fact, I interviewed him for a story on Free Speech Radio News the other day, and then I spoke with him again outside the courtroom. The Board of Elections itself was not represented there, so I didn't get to speak to any of the Board of Elections officials who would be involved directly in the recounts. The only people that I have been able to speak with here are the Franklin County Board of Elections folks, and they, you know, they're generally kind of not happy with having to undergo this process and commit staff to it and all of that. Why, I'm not really sure. I mean, it's their job. It's every citizen's right to demand this recount, and this is part of the function of those boards of elections. This is one of the things that we hire them to do. They are, of course, appointed you know, at the behest of the Secretary of State. They're funded, though, at the county level, so the county commissioners can demand this action from them and oversee that process and make sure that that action is taken, is accurate and done fairly. So, you know, I don't know what they were otherwise planning on doing with their time. Once the election is certified and out of their hands, it seems to me like they would be happy to have the extra overtime.
Evan Davis, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
I wonder if you might have, incidentally, before we let you go, happened to have seen the Ohio State House lawn there in Columbus yet today.
I'm here now. I just pulled up as we were speaking, and I've unloaded my sound equipment, and now I have to negotiate with our, unfortunately, provincial State House staff to be able to plug into their precious electrical outlets.
Good luck there.
Great. Thank you very much.
Evan Davis reporting from the State House lawn in Columbus. He's with the Citizens Alliance for Secure Elections. You can find out more from them at their website, caseohio.org. You're tuned to Sounds of Dissent on WZBC in Newton, 90.3 FM. My name's John Grebe. We bring you the program every Saturday from 11 in the morning until 1 p.m.